Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true.
Hello and welcome to The Music of Marriage
with Bob
and Evie. E-V-Y, Evie. Short for Evelyn, in case you didn't know. Mm-hmm. And Bob is just short for Bob.
Right. Yeah, it spells both ways, backwards and forwards.
Anyway, that's nice when life works out that way. It just works both backwards and forwards. Yes. But on the music of marriage, like music, do you know of any song? Have you ever heard of a song, Daryl, that you can play backwards and it sounds the same as forwards?
I'm gonna think about that.
The Beatles have tried it, but it didn't work.
They did?
Yes. Yeah, just to be, esoteric and all that. But it was,
there's got to be a little children's ditty or some little song that is the same notes backward as forward. That doesn't make unless it's the same note. If it's the same note the whole song, then it's the same backwards and forwards. Or a C and then two D's and then a C. So either way, it would be, well, moving right along for the music of marriage. It's not easy to come up with, well, in a way it is, because our world gives us lots of opportunity to struggle with what's the right answer for our marriages in different situations. So in that way, there's no end of challenges that we face in marriage issues. Mm-hmm. And we have to have what's called discernment. If you're a discerning person, you know how to tell the difference between things. And we're going to talk about that today. But there's this also word being thrown around, which I don't care for at all, because people say it to try to tell things that aren't true. But it's the word misinformation, marital misinformation. A lack of discernment of being able to pick apart and tell what is right and what's wise, what's not wise, what's a good path, a good answer, or not. And all the nuances, all the little things behind the decisions that we make, all the pile up of feelings and experiences that we've had being married and finding out these things about your spouse that may make life difficult or challenging on any level. For us to stick it out and stay together, we have to begin to have better discernment so that, you know, we can keep it together and mm-hmm. keep the wheels, all four wheels, on the track.
Actually, the word misinformation just has to do with wrong information based on not knowing the facts or the situation, and just assuming conclusions. And the other word on the internet, actually, or radio, is called disinformation, and that actually means intentionally trying to deceive someone with wrong information. And that's what the devil does for to us. He uses disinformation, and we often use misinformation because we just don't know the difference. and we often are deceived. And that's why we need to be on our guard. And our title here is a call for discernment. And we have strayed so far from the truth, or from God's word, which is absolute truth. And we're so far off the mark that we think that where we are now is normal. And this has happened over time, over a long time, even hundreds of years, but especially in the last century and progressively in the last decade or two, it has even gone so far off the mark that we're hearing all of this commotion and all of this misinformation and disinformation. And we're hearing it from different sources, even our friends, our pastors, even. We're often pastors who don't really know the difference are given misinformation, and they may not be trying to do that. Don't want to judge anyone, but it's just a matter of, is what we're saying truthful, and does it conform to God's word? And that's basically where we've got to go. The vernacular of our world has become our language, however, and if you don't know what God's word has to say on a subject, then you are playing God and are operating outside of his word, and that's where the danger lies. So this is really a multi-staged challenge that we have to acknowledge how far off course we are, that is, how far outside of the circle of the Christian worldview, which contains God's moral absolutes, his absolute imperatives and mandates, as well as the things he's said that he's done that we can rely on. And now we have to get back on course. And to get back on course or back to center, you essentially have to silence all other voices, whether it's your best friend or pastor, as I said. Silence them if what they're saying is not dead center on the Word of God. So,
what do you mean by silence them? It sounds kind of
silence,
dramatic.
Silence those voices in your that are competing in your mind and in your heart and soul for not only attention but for belief.
But first, you have to know that all the voices. How to tell between the voices that are coming at you.
Yes.
Okay. I heard this guy on a TV sermon, and he was very, expressive and dramatic and colorful and convincing sounding, like a car salesman or something. And he had this fantastic TV set, and he's a multi-billionaire preacher. But boy, does he know how to spin it and say it so it sounds so true. I got that bouncing in my head. And then I've got my preacher, and then I've got, you know, what I heard growing up in Sunday school or from that Christian person I knew in college or something. How do you discern? And then you hear what the general, magazines and television are putting forth. You've got all this stuff bouncing around. How do you discern so that you can silence? It's not that we want to silence a person or censor.
It didn't mean to be
like that. What it is in your own mind, to learn which voices and which statements it requires some kind of deep thinking, and then it requires studying to try to learn what is the truth here, because what's untruth can seem very much like the truth, and it can feel right, it can feel happy, it can feel like love, but it could be leading you down a wrong path.
Oz Guinness talks about three ways that the modern Christian and the modern church has conformed to the pattern of the world and the teaching of the world and taken on the language of the world.
Which affects our marriages. This is about marriage.
It does.
And relationships.
If it affects all of life. And we have to get back to not just looking at marriage as some separate entity, but as a critical part of all of life that has particular principles that apply to it that don't necessarily apply to other areas of life. But other areas of life do apply to marriage as well. And but what Dasgupta has said is that modernity, or the modern world, or the modern way of thinking, has had the effect of shifting the church, and that means all of us who...
Society,
but, you know, especially people who claim to be Christians, who go to church, and who are Christians, or maybe not.
And preachers.
But wherever you are on that continuum, the conforming to the modern world has had an effect on us. And the effect that it has changed us, it has shifted us, he calls it shifting, from an integrated faith to a fragmented faith. That's number one. And, you know, our belief system used to be integrated. It made sense. Everything made sense and tied together. And now we're not quite sure what to believe because we're hearing too many voices. And from a stance under authority to a stance of preferences, that's number two. So we've basically moved outside of the authority of God's word, his moral absolutes, to what we prefer based on our situation, and especially if our situation is painful, difficult, we tend to want to protect ourselves at all costs, and we often move out from under the authority of how God tells us to deal with that situation. And that authority also tells us what we must do in a particular situation and what we must not do in a particular situation. And then the third point is that we have moved from a supernatural sense of reality to a purely secular perspective. And this is where we don't see God in everything.
In our marriage.
Yeah, we don't see him anymore. It's like all we see is trouble. We see problems. We see a person who's got bad attitudes and bad behavior and uses bad words. And we see, you know, a house that doesn't really function like a home. We see, you know, no money in it. we see all these things, and we see impossible situations that are impossible in our eyes. And while at the same time we often use the phrase that with God all things are possible. So you see that there's this discrepancy or division within our own minds and hearts and souls.
It makes it hard to solve marriage problems or any of life's problems if it's kind of like looking into a shattered mirror. You know, you're trying to brush your hair and fix yourself, but the mirror you're looking into is shattered. So it's got fragments, you know, it's got all these pieces. You know, mm-hmm. How you would look if you looked at yourself in a... Maybe they have those in the fun house on the boardwalk, do they? Shattered mirrors? They have mirrors that distort, that are bent and warped and mm-hmm. all that.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. So if we're starting with a faulty mirror, how can we fix our marriage problems? You know, how can you fix your hair and know that the right half of your lipstick is matching with the left half? So that's why absolute truth is like that mirror that is a perfect image of what you are. And since we are made in God's image and he's perfect, he's the perfect mirror. That's where we need to look to find clues how to solve this problem. And sometimes that's all you can find is clues at the beginning before you solve the big mystery, right? Mm-hmm. You have a problem and you say, I can definitely define this problem. He's da-da-da, or she is da-da-da, or we da-da-da. Fill in the blank. That's a problem. I can define that. But what to do about that? What mirror am I going to look into to make sure that I'm seeing accurately, that I have an accurate image, you know, accurate and truthful representation of the standards that I'm supposed to be following? Do I follow the standards of, you know, the Jerry Springer show? Or do I follow the standards of People magazine and the latest Hollywood or famous couple? Do I follow the standards of my parents? Do I follow the standards of what my college professor is teaching? How about on Facebook, what my girlfriends say? ABC culture, right? Anything but Christ. He's the mirror that's not shattered, where you can see clearly what the absolute truth really is of the real situation. And the cool thing is that he actually has the answers. And you can't get answers unless you have the true medicine, the true answer. You know, you can't get answers if you're looking in the wrong place for anything, right? It's like when your husband says, where's the peanut, the strawberry jam? And it's on the front edge of the shelf as soon as you open the refrigerator door, but he can't find it.
That's me. Evelyn, where's the jam?
Well, just open the door and see if you can find it. I can't find it.
It's usually when it's in the second row back, you see. I only look at the first row. If it's not there, it's not there.
But this was on the first row.
Oh, that's even
worse. Last week, Daryl. It was bad.
All men have that disability.
Do you think so?
Like what is it? They can't find anything. Did your mom find everything for you? I don't get it.
Well, you can't find socks in the dryer either, so I think we're even.
Well,
anyway.
I don't know where that was going, I'm not sure, but.
Well, we are all faulty people by a long shot. But anyway, we've got stuff to work on, right?
Well, having a standard, knowing where to find things is, and where to find the clues, where to find the answers to your problems is how you're going to have hope that you can even start. So don't look to the Jerry Springer show. Don't look to your Facebook friends. Don't look to even necessarily your pastor or church people, because they may be saying some misguiding things that don't match up with the true image, the mirror, with Christ, with God's word and what he says. Once we heard we were close to a situation, and we were just totally blown away when we brought the situation up to someone who was in leadership in our church, someone who actually is a marriage counselor. Mm-hmm. And this was the words they had to say. Frankly, I see no hope for the situation. How does that square up? So here you have a church leader, marriage counselor, author, saying to us, frankly, I see no hope for the situation. This is why we have to be discerning.
Because does it really end there, that what you see? When Scripture tells us not to be wise in our own eyes, and there's a reason for that, because we can only see so far. We can't see into the future. We can only see what's right in front of our eyes. And that's where faith comes in, and that's where hope comes in, and that's hopefully where love should come in, because love is about the only thing that can change all of that.
Love meaning actions based on truth, not love as in the mushy feelings, because we all know that mushy feelings come and go with, you know, how much sleep you've gotten and things like that.
But here, getting back to discernment, because we have gone so far, of course, and all the languages of the world are, and the languages in the Christian culture, they're all like jumbo pie or mumbo pie. What's that New Orleans famous pie called?
Jambalaya?
I think so, yeah. Anyway, it's a stew, whatever it is.
Ask Henry Ford. He probably ate it for dinner.
I'm sure he had some. But yeah, so we've got to get back to what do we really mean by discernment? How do you discern truth from error? Well, you have to know what discernment means. Well, apparently the Bible uses the word, and it does have a definition that comes from both the Old and New Testaments. And essentially, well, let's look at that. Actually, before we look at that, let's look at the dictionary's definition. The first dictionary definition is the ability to judge well. And actually, that gives you no standard by which to judge, because what does the word well mean? That can mean a thousand different things. The second dictionary definition is, in Christian context, perception in the absence of judgment with a view to obtaining spiritual direction and understanding.
In the absence of judgment means, so you're trying to understand, you're trying to get clues to solving your marriage problems. Oh, there's a bluebird. Tennessee bluebird, sorry. I really like bluebirds. but anyway, this dictionary definition of discernment has to do, they even noticed, whoever wrote the dictionary, which was good, that this is a spiritual thing, discernment. It has to do with your Christian worldview. Now, if you are on the throne of your life, and you are the standard, the ultimate standard for everything, and you don't need to look to God and all that, then you wouldn't need to have discernment. You just roll how you roll, and you're not going to challenge yourself on anything. But when we decide not to make a judgment or a decision, but rather we want to think more deeply beforehand, we want to perceive, we want to get more into the what's behind and what's underneath, so that we can solve these problems in our marriage with the goal in mind of gaining spiritual insight, you know, getting those clues, so we say, aha, you know, if we do this, maybe if we do that, we won't have this problem anymore, we can eliminate that. Kind of like in your budget, you say, you know, we need $2,000 a month, but we only have $1,500 coming in a month. What can we cut? So you get together, rather than just, you know, you have to work on what are the little nuances, what are the things, and why do you keep clashing in this area, and how can you eliminate by process of elimination? Agree, okay, I'll try not to do that so much because that bothers you, and I'll try to do that more to not bother you, and you kind of gradually have to work it out. It's kind of like a treasure hunt, you know, the big prize is at the end, but along the way there's a lot of research, searching and and digging, and you know, effort that needs to be made.
And what the key thing here in the word spiritual discernment is, that spiritual discernment means just that. It means discernment that is given by the Spirit of God. It's not discernment that comes natural to us. In fact, in 1 Corinthians it says that wisdom and discernment is spiritually appraised, and therefore the natural man does not understand it, and even abhors it, because it doesn't come natural to him, something else does. And so, like an interval in music, being able to distinguish the difference in pitch between two musical sounds, discernment is a distinguishing trait. The Bible's definition of the word discernment is to understand or distinguish, to be able to tell the difference between, to separate things from one another at their points of difference in order to distinguish them. So
it's like when you're 3-year-old, you get in the matching game.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, two of each card. Two cards have an apple. Two cards have a dog. Two cards have a sock. And so you put them down. You put them over, upside down, and they flip one over, and it's a sock. And they're 3 years old. And then they flip another one over on the second row down and three in. And it's not a sock. It's an apple. So they have to turn it back and try again. But they learn to discern and to tell the difference, mm-hmm. and to match things that go together. It's like, which of these do not belong? And I think even as adults, we need to challenge ourselves and say, if we're having marriage problems, which of these things do not belong? You know, what are we trying to shove together? And it's not matching. It's not peaceful. It's not smooth. So how can we talk about and make those adjustments?
And one way to get there on a fast track is to acknowledge that there's a big gap between the ways of God and the ways of the world, or our ways, and there's where we need discernment. God says that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. He even uses the description of high as the heavens are to the earth. That's a pretty big gap, pretty broad distance. But that's why we need the Spirit of God to enlighten us in a discerning way, not just for awaken us to salvation, but to enlighten us in our everyday lives so that we know how to think God's thoughts and act according to His ways, how to understand who God is and what His role is in my life. Is really, really critical. And so discernment is the skill in reaching understanding and knowledge by this process of separation. And our personal viewpoints on situations need to harmonize with the truth of God's word. So
what is the song that we were going to play by Neil Diamond? I'm sorry, not Neil Diamond.
Dave Mason.
And what does that have to do with what we're talking about?
What is the song we're playing?
We just disagree.
We just disagree, exactly.
Notice the word just. Always notice how we use that word just to give ourselves flexibility or an excuse. We just disagree. But yeah, we shouldn't be disagreeing. I don't know what he's totally saying in that song, but reharmonizing is a musical term, you know. To harmonize means you bringing in different notes to enrich the sound of a chord rather than just play the tune as you heard it exactly, that one note, but to throw in some little slightly off-sounding notes to enrich the sound of that chord.
And that kind of his message kind of harkens to the situational ethics standard that we often live by, and that is that you have your truth and I have my truth, and we just disagree. Some Christian counselors have written that your ways, my ways, are no better than your ways, just different. So that means that whatever we do or say isn't judged by a standard of absolute truth. It's just what our own personal truth happens to be for this situation.
Which doesn't release us from the bondage of the trouble that we're in. We're in trouble in our marriage in some way or another. Something isn't working up to par. And we find freedom within the circle of God's moral absolutes. And that's why we have to find our way back to that, because, like Bob said at the beginning, our world, our Facebook, our TV, our everything is just trying to shatter that mirror image, that pure image and true, that absolute true image that you will see reflected as you look at what God's moral absolutes are.
Anyway, I really enjoy the Dave Mason song. I think it's a wonderful song.
What's it called?
We Just Disagree.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, let it roll. Back with the music of marriage, and we're talking about a call for discernment and how to discern truth from error and good information or right information from misinformation, and how that relates to marriage practically speaking.
How can it help solve marriage problems? Is what we're all looking for, right? The practical application of, what does discernment have to do with anything?
And relationship problems, especially family relationships, extended family, etc. There's all kinds of opportunities for things to go wrong in all of those scenarios, or for people to rub each other the wrong way. And there we need wisdom and discernment to know how to keep ourselves on the right track, how to get along with others.
So where do we get this? Where on earth do we look again for our
Well, there's only one place, and that is Scripture, which sets the means and the boundaries on our behavior. and even in extenuated circumstances. Trying to get that. That's a mouthful.
Extenuating circumstances.
Yes.
Like, very, very hard circumstances.
Yeah. Especially in those situations. For instance, if you're being persecuted because you're doing what's right, you're believing in what's right and you're doing what's right, but someone else doesn't like it. Well, you know, Jesus said, blessed are you when men revile you and say all kinds of bad things about you and persecute you, and you endure it for my sake, you will be blessed. And so often the blessing of God comes when in the midst of the worst circumstances we could find ourselves in, and we endure it because God told us we must endure it.
But you don't know my situation, people will say. Walk a mile in my moccasins. And you know, that's not to minimize suffering. And
not at all.
At all, because on any level where there's unkindness toward you, I mean, it could be, you know, in an intersection when somebody goes through a red light and you were about to, and it almost clobbered you. It could be this very difficult situation in your relationship that keeps going on, and it doesn't seem like there's ever hope for change. It doesn't mm-hmm. seem like it,
mm-hmm.
according to you, yourself, and you. But
right.
as we said here, we don't act on only what we see. We have to go and find out what is the truth. How can I, you know,
right.
how can I be helpful in correcting the situation instead of in my anger, you know, throwing a fit, get mad, run.
Or doing something completely different, and that is changing yourself.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that one.
Well,
change myself? That's not part of the answer.
There were not too many people who survived the horrors of Auschwitz in the Second World War, Germany. Viktor Frankl is one of those survivors, and he survived because of his perspective on his situation. And what he said was, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. And that's very powerful, and often we don't think of that when we're in a situation. Well, maybe the person who needs a change is me. Because really, marriage is never about you changing someone else on your behalf, but changing yourself on their behalf. And so let's get back to where discernment brings us to understanding that there's more than ourselves in the situation, and that is, number one, that God knows best what we need in a given situation. Number two, God wants us to trust Him for the fact that He knows exactly what we need and what the situation calls for. And number three, when we do trust Him for what we need, despite our situation, God will give us discernment to find alternatives for operating within the bounds of His moral absolutes. And that is very critical, because when we stay within the bounds of God's absolutes, we're not only safe, but that's where the freedom truly is. You know, when Jesus made the statement that the truth will set you free, He wasn't just talking about salvation. Otherwise, He would have said, salvation will set you free. And it does. it sets you free. And even when I was saved, I said, I was just astounded by the fact that I didn't have to search for truth anymore. I went around, wow, I'm free. And that's really true. But this statement, the truth will set you free, applies to all truth. And all truth is derived from God. And I wanted to play this little recording from Francis Schaeffer's series, How Should We Then Live? Because he talks about this very subject, and it's just a short little quip, and I'll play
Francis Schaeffer was kind of iconic in the Christian realms of thinkers in the 70s, I would suppose. He was maybe more known. And he had a place called La Brie in Switzerland where people would come who were confused about life or had problems, and they were looking for the answers. And so this is from Francis Schaeffer.
Okay.
So suddenly when we come to the gospel, the good news, that Christ has done it all, and we accept this with the empty hands of faith, we have tremendous freedom from this awful, awful bondage that I've spoken of. But it brings many other freedoms, because it is a terrible bondage, really, as a man, as a finite man, to have to act as God and make our own absolutes, or try to, because we really can't. And this is a bondage. And suddenly when we have in the Bible itself that which gives us the absolutes, we are free then to function, whether in the area of science or morals or sociological things or behavior patterns. We're free to operate within the circle that the absolutes of the scripture gives us.
So what Schaeffer is talking about is very, very applicable. It sounds theoretical and philosophical, but it's ultimately practical. We can't really operate outside of those bounds that God has set without incurring disappointment and disillusionment.
And bondage. And we will not see the clues to solving our problems if we go outside of the source of the answers, which mm-hmm. is that circle that God has drawn. And as we know, all around us and within us, the voices are always saying, do your own thing, you are your own truth. But the fact is, there is an absolute truth, just like what goes up must come down. And when we draw that boundary around our thoughts, when we have discernment to make choices and say, inside every voice in me is saying, run. Every voice inside me is saying to do this, to do that, to the other. But if we bring that into subjection and ask God to show us, that's a promise he makes to every person. It's like a free ticket to success in your marriage, really. He says, if any man asks for wisdom, I will give it to him. Any man or yeah. woman. So that's pretty great news. And it's a great way to lead into the song by Neil Diamond. I'm sure he wrote it knowing that we were going to speak on this, right?
I'm sure.
When did he write this song, I'm a Believer? He believed in something. Hopefully it matches with what we're talking about.
Boy, I believe it was in the late 60s.
You believe? Well, I'm a Believer.
It was released in 1967 by the Monkees.
Really?
Oh, they had a big hit. I walked by some girls playing a transistor radio, and it was the first time I really heard rock and roll. I thought, wow. But this is Neil Diamond, and he wrote it.
Yeah.
Nice.
He took it to another level. I'm a Believer. Are you?
Someone else, but not for me. Love was out to get me. That's the way it seems. Disappointing, haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. Couldn't leave her if I tried. Sunshine, I got rain. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. And I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. And I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace.
Welcome back to The Music of Marriage with Bob and Evie. And we have a website you might like to check out. It has podcasts of radio shows that you didn't get to hear. You can share them if you go to themusicofmarriage.com. And what else? We have a book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, 5 Biblical Principles to Keep the Music Playing, and live, well, a player that you can download some of our original music. Mm-hmm. So this, today's topic on discernment, which means learning to choose, you know, which of these things does not belong, kind of like the little matching game, if you put it on a 3-year-old level, we need to challenge ourselves to get deeper underneath to get the clues based on God's moral absolutes that are, they never change. We can change, society can change, but however far we go away from operating outside that circle of God's moral absolutes, that's how far we're going to crumble and things will break down, whether it's a whole society, a country, a nation, a movement. Nothing can last if it's not built on sound principles, any more than looking into a shattered mirror is going to help you make yourself look good for the day, right? So false notions are all around us. The idea of divorce is commonly accepted as, you know, vanilla chocolate divorce, whatever, it doesn't matter. You don't really need to...
No fault divorce.
You don't need to think that deeply to get clues about that. Just accept it. It's the new modern way. And we contend that it may not be the right way for you or the best way just because it may be prevalent.
Yes, in fact, because... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Just because it's the law of the land that you can divorce for any and every reason doesn't mean that it's the law of God. In fact, it's quite the opposite of the law of God. In fact, interestingly, in Matthew 19, that was the question the Pharisees asked Jesus, can a man divorce his wife for any and every reason? No fault divorce. Was conceived then. Guess who conceived that? The same tempter that conceives in our mind these days that is true when it is not true. But and in this case, we need not only discernment but clarity, and because God in His Word and Jesus's answer was no, absolutely not. You cannot divorce for any and every reason. You can only divorce for marital unfaithfulness or sexual infidelity, it's interpreted as well. And then Paul adds another reason, and that is when an unbelieving partner abandons you or decides that they want to leave, then you're allowed to let them go. And in both cases, you're allowed to remarry. According to the Bible, you're given permission. But this is within the circle of God's absolutes. these are the only two permissible justifications the Bible gives for divorce, and there are no others. And so what you need to ask yourself is, if you have another reason that you want to divorce for, what if you're a believer, you have to come to terms with God's moral absolutes. There are actual laws that you can't violate without consequences, and you will reap what you sow, whatever horrors you may be living in. And you know, if you do what God requires of you, you will find that God will see you through whatever you're going through, and you will come out on top of the situation, and you will be in peace. You'll be strong and courageous. If you operate within his confines, and there's a reason that these confines are here, because marriage is sacred, and God doesn't want it violated for any and every reason. And if you go outside that, well, then you're on your own, basically. If you stay within God's confines, then you will find creative ways to change the situation or change yourself or deal with the situation according to whatever is going to bring relief from the situation. And that doesn't mean separating or leaving at all, because the Bible commands us not to separate in marriage even. And there's a reason for that, because you can't work anything out when you're separate. You can't change anything when you're separate, really. And it never really works. It always ends up in divorce. Separation almost always ends in divorce. I think the percentage was something like 87%, and that was 10 years ago. But so we can take heart that if we stay within God's boundaries, he will give us his help, his direction. We will be at peace. We'll find more of the blessing of God, because we obeyed God when it was hard to obey. And you know what? Our pastor, George Grant, said that God doesn't rescue us on the heights, but in the depths. And that's really encouraging, because so many people are in the depths.
So here we have Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone, because... But I'll tell you what, there are a lot of times we think our son will come out. It'll be much more happy when the person we're married to, if they were gone. But it's good to challenge ourselves. We all have to do it on every level of conflict that we have in our relationships. And don't jump to our own conclusions, but take the time to think deeply and ask God for wisdom, because there's guarantee, no doubt, unequivocal promise that he will give you wisdom. And through that, we can have what we were talking about last week too, that 180 degrees to peace. And then the sun starts to come out. You know that feeling you have when it's gloomy? We've had a lot of rainy days, like day after day of rainy day. And then all of a sudden you're driving around and it's like you just feel happier. The sun starts coming out and everything starts. It changes your whole... And that's what can happen inside of us too when we stay within the bounds of that sunshine of God's love and his absolutes. So, the song is Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. Here. I mean, when she's gone. Whoops. Joking. Okay. Bill Withers.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time where she's gone. wonder if she's gonna stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home anytime she goes away. And sunshine when she's gone, only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home.